Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the PVD Cast. I am your host, John Orlando, the man that brings you this podcast live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via Columbus, Ohio. I hope that you are doing well out there, and I am very glad that you joined me for episode 111. I'm going to be joined by a man that I've known for a long time. I watched this man ply his trade and learn his trade in Coshocton, Ohio. I have been on many, many shows throughout my career with this gentleman, and I'm talking about Robbie Superstar. Now, Robbie is coming on to talk because he's got two big events coming up here. First, New Ohio Wrestling returns to action February 11th for NOW4. It's at Groveport Madison Middle School in Groveport, Ohio. I believe doors open at 7 p.m. if I remember correctly. And then Robbie's also going to be wrestling for Ohio Championship Wrestling the following week, February 18th. Love Hurts is the name of the event, and I think plenty of us can agree with that title. But anywho, and that's going to be at the OCW Arena up there in Akron, 2910 South Main Street. I also believe that that is a 7 o'clock start as well. But I've wanted to have Robbie on for a long time, to be honest with you, because he's been a fixture in Ohio Championship Wrestling for his entire career, and he's wrestled all over the place as well. And so I was glad that he had the chance to come on and talk here to me, and we reminisce a little bit about the good old days, so to speak, and also we get his insights into the world of professional wrestling. So, but hey, before I forget, I want to mention real quick that a great sponsor of NOW4 is also a friend of this show. That's right, Big Fun Columbus. And as I've mentioned many times before, I love Big Fun Columbus. I haven't been down there in quite a while, and I need to stop on down there and see Trinity and see Jason and see all the great folks down there at 672 North High Street. If you need toys, you need to check out Big Fun Columbus. And I know that they're helping to sponsor NOW, and you know, hopefully those guys are going to come on out. Those guys and girls are going to come on out and enjoy a great evening of professional wrestling there in Groveport. But anyways, let's not dilly-dally anymore. Let me throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Robbie Superstar. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. John Orlando sitting down with a man that I've known for many, many years. Robbie Superstar. How are you, Robbie?
I'm good, John. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it, man. You doing well?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Personally and professionally, good. Everything's going smooth for you.
Yeah, I actually couldn't be better right now.
Excellent.
Everything's turning around.
Excellent. You know, I think that's the one thing that I definitely miss. Seeing a lot of the guys, so it's great that you came on to catch up in that. But let's start with the same question I ask every single person that gets involved in professional wrestling. How did you get started in this crazy business?
Oh, wow. I was actually lifting weights. I loved it as a kid. My friends and I, you know, we did the whole... I'll be honest, we did the whole backyard stuff on a trampoline, but we weren't crazy. We didn't, you know, try to go out there and kill people. We just kind of emulated our favorites, and we like to be on camera and be funny in front of the camera and develop kind of our own characters and stuff like that.
So you weren't jumping off roofs and throwing people through thumbtack tables and everything like that, huh?
Well, there was one time we jumped off a barn roof, but we landed safely on a bunch of boxes we got. So that was the craziest thing we ever did. But we never set each other on fire or broke lights over each other's heads or anything like that. And it's a funny story, actually. We probably did it way, way longer than we should have. We were probably in our early 20s when we stopped. I was in college, and this girl came up to me, who I didn't know was actually working as a valet for OCW. And she just came up to me while I was lifting weights at the fitness center there at my school. And she said, have you ever thought about being a pro wrestler? And I just kind of looked at her and was like, what? I was like, do you know me? Like, I thought she knew me somehow. I thought I was getting punked or something. And she proceeded to tell me about the Big Guns Pro Wrestling Academy down in Coshocton County. And at that time, I had no idea about the indies, the independent wrestling at all. I knew just WWE, WCW, stuff like that, stuff that was on TV. Now, I had pro wrestling magazines, but I never really put two and two together. I was kind of oblivious to the independent scene. And I think I waited a week, and then I went down the following week and checked it out. I was like, oh, wow, this is legit. There was, you know, two rings, and I was kind of surprised. And, you know, I got it in the ring and did the tryout. And Big Guns himself said that he thought I had a good look and I was athletic enough, and he thought that he could teach me his ways, and if I was willing to go through the schooling and pay the entry fee and everything, that he'd be more than willing to teach me.
I'm really blown away that you didn't know about the indie.
I know.
I guess. Right. I mean, with all due respect, everybody talks about, you know, that they went and saw some indie show or there was some exposure to it. Wow, man, that's okay.
I had no idea.
Were you athletic in high school?
I mean, I'd say so. I was probably considered a jock. I did all the sports, basketball, football, track.
Okay.
I did baseball when I was younger, but not in high school.
What'd you do in track?
Ironically, that's what I went for. And then I couldn't, I just did track my senior year.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get the technique down. So I ended up being, I was actually decently fast. So I was on the 4x4 relay. The 100, the 200,
The 400? Did you run a regular 400 as well?
Yeah, I wasn't as good as that. I was better at the relay for some reason.
Really?
It was just that team effort, yeah.
Okay.
But I ran a 400 too. I did all those kind of like
mid-distance,
mid to short distance runs.
Okay. All right. So do you think being athletic in high school, did that help you in the training when you went down to the Big Guns Academy?
I mean, sure, definitely. Yeah. Any kind of athletic ability. I mean, you have to be an athlete to be a professional wrestler, for sure.
Well, you weren't. You weren't intimidated when you started training, were you?
I didn't know what to expect. Like I said, I didn't. You know, I went there. You know, the guys that were there. I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm not trying to brag on myself, but the guys that were there, I think I looked a little bit more athletic than the ones that showed up to training that first day. That gave me confidence. I was nervous for sure. I didn't know really what to expect and what I was getting myself into. But I loved wrestling, and I loved doing it in the backyard. I was the one that always tried to get the guys together and let's you know, tape ourselves and do this and do that. So definitely wanted to check it out and see what I could do with it.
How long before Jeff hit you with one of those overhand chops?
Man.
I mean, he never admits it, but he loves to chop people. Let's just be honest.
Oh,
you know he does.
Oh, for sure. Man, I probably pretty recently. I don't know the exact time or, you know, probably first couple practices he hit me with one.
Okay, it wasn't the first night, was it?
No. First night the tryout consisted of basically running the ropes and learning how to bump, and you know, if he trusted you, he'd let you do a flip bump and just some cardio stuff and push-ups and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, being a fan growing up, who were some of your favorite wrestlers to watch?
Growing up, I was a Hulk Hogan fan for sure. I was more of a WWF guy.
Okay.
WWE now. I watched WCW occasionally when it was on at like, I think, 6:05 on TBS. But, you know, favorites, Hogan, Macho Man. I liked, you know, in the Attitude Era, Stone Cold and The Rock for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of anybody that was kind of one of my favorites that no one really liked. Oh, I like the British Bulldog. I liked him a lot in the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah. He was one of my favorite guys.
Okay. Was it because of, you know, he was known for his extreme power? Was that part of it or just the whole package of him?
Yeah, I liked his color. I liked his theme music.
Okay.
the colors you'd wear, the red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
I know it was, you know, for England or Britain or whatever, but, you know, it was still cool. I liked his hair. I liked the beads for some reason when he had the dreads with the beads or whatever it was.
All right, well, let's move along into your singles career. If I remember correctly, if memory serves me correct, first title that you held in OCW was the OCW television title.
Yes.
And so what was your feelings on winning that title? I mean, were you excited? I mean, it's definitely some confidence there that you can carry that belt and do good things with it, so.
Sure, yeah, that was a huge moment for me. Mm-hmm. I know people are just like, oh, it's independent wrestling, it's you know, the mid-card title, whatever. But I don't know. I took pride in it. I felt like I was to a point where I deserved it. Not to be overconfident again, but I was traveling a lot, learning, soaking it all in. Jeff did take me under his wing and took me to a lot of different promotions, and I was getting a lot of work in. And you know, I think from my peers too that had been in the business for a while that were, you know, I don't want to say in Jeff's ear, but gave advice to Jeff and, you know, gave him their thoughts. I think they were pushing for me to get a singles title too. So mm-hmm. I was getting a good fan following.
Yeah, you know, and actually, I'm going to jump ahead. That's a question that I had later on, but you just addressed it. You've been a very popular babyface. Mm-hmm. You've also been a hated heel. and you do that. You play both those roles very, very well. What is your secret to portraying either the hated heel or the great babyface?
Is there
a method to the madness, or just happens?
Just really trying to take what I've learned and what I've watched from, you know, guys on the indies and from people that have trained me, like mm-hmm. Jeff Cannon and Bobby Fulton and JT Lightning, just the facial expressions. That's how I connect with the crowd. I'll look somebody straight in the face and tell them to shut up, or I'll tell them, you know, I'll just give them the big puppy dog eyes, and like if I'm getting beat up as a baby face, and just, you know, just really try to get them into the show as much as possible. Feel like they're a part of the show as much as the wrestlers are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that, you know, the rest of the people that are in the show.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you have to. I think as a good baby face, you got to have that. You got to have that fire in your comeback. You know, when you're coming back to get the fans hooked into it. And I think you've always done a very good job on that aspect as being a babyface, of getting folks invested in wanting to see you kick that bad guy's ass, you know?
Yeah.
Or vice versa. You know, you do a very good job of being quite annoying and irritating, which is what a heel needs to be, you know?
I never thought I would like it, but it's definitely fun. I never thought of myself as a bad guy, but I prefer it now.
Okay. So let's also talk early on in your career. I believe right after the OCW television title run, you started the rivalry with Matt Mason. So as you chased for that OCW title, what's your thoughts on that rivalry?
Oh man, definitely wanted to be on the top of my game. I wanted to be the best because my first show. When I did security, Matt Mason was the one that stood out. He came out of House of Fire. I was like, oh, this is real wrestling. This is like, because I had no idea on the indies. This is going back to me not, you know, I'm like, man, these guys are giving it their all. He just stood out above the rest on that show, the very first show I did security for, and he was legit. So I knew, and I had all the respect in the world for him, so I wanted to be the best that I could and, you know, have a believable hated rivalry between the two of us and, you know, a little, you know, personal ego, you know, as well. I wanted to prove to myself that I can hang with him.
Yeah. So when you won the OCW title for the first time, Because let's see, you've been a three-time champ or two-time champ?
I believe two.
Two. Okay.
I believe two. Yeah.
Okay. First time you won it. What was your? Two. Dude, the years blend together so much anymore. It's sad. It's so sad. I used to be able to keep things straight, and anymore, it just blends together. But anywho, what were your thoughts and feelings on winning that title? I mean, were they the same as the TV title, or did you go, "Oh God, I'm it. I'm the top of the mountain." You know, did it have a different feeling for you?
Definitely a different feeling. Anytime you're the top champion of a company, that means that that promoter or owner of the company is, you know, putting their trust in you to sell tickets and to be the headliner in the main event and all that stuff. That's true on any level. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, it's a big deal. It's a pride thing. We're all prideful guys, or else we wouldn't be in this business. And we all strive to be the best, or at least we should be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The best that we can be. But I also view myself as, too, as a team player. I'll do what it takes to, you know, whatever role I'm supposed to play, I'll do it. You know, and that's why I think I've gotten a lot of bookings is that I want to be the top guy, but if that's not the time for me or the place, you know, I'll do my role and do my job as a, you know, as a mid card guy or, you know, semi main or whatever, opener, curtain jerker, whatever.
Well, it's about being professional. And I think that that's right. Clearly something that I think
that's the key. Yeah. That's the key word in professional wrestling.
Right, exactly. Because, I mean, otherwise you wouldn't work all the places you've worked. And let's, you know, talk about all the places you've been. You've been, you know, obviously OCW, but you've worked in CAPW, War Wrestling, where else? MEWL for a while, too?
Yeah,
I mean,
MEWL, all kinds of promotions. I've been out to New York for Maximum Force Wrestling. PWR Wrestling in Erie, Pennsylvania, was going out there for quite a while. FNW, I went out there once or twice, I believe. They were middle Pennsylvania, I think. Can't remember exactly where they were.
So while you're traveling around, I think one of the skills you have to know is how to wrestle for your audience. So did you learn that real quick?
I wouldn't say quick, but I learned it by getting to travel with Jeff and doing fair shows for Bobby Fulton and, you know, going and help setting up the ring and picking up things what people were saying and listening to the guys that have been around for a while and telling them, you know, this is how you work. This is how you work this kind of crowd. This is how you do this. And, you know, you kind of learn to adapt and what you hear from the crowd as well. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think takes time. It took me some time to learn how to do and how to adapt to that, like going on the fly and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about your tag team career, because you've had certainly a great one. You know, I think we would be amiss if we didn't mention the High Def Supernovas, who obviously, I mean, you guys had such a great run. Matt Mason and yourself. Talk a little bit about the history. How did that team come together?
Well, how did that come? Well, they were looking for somebody. They were looking for an opponent for Jeff Cannon because I think he beat me for the title and held the OCW championship. And they didn't want to re-put it on, you know, they didn't want to have me feud again with Jeff, and they didn't want Matt to feud. They wanted somebody different, so they decided on Sherman Tank. Mm-hmm. And when Tank and Jeff started their thing, it left a hole for Matt, because Matt and Tank were kind of teaming up as the A-list. And so it just kind of turned into myself and Matt teaming up, and we didn't even have a tag team. We just kind of were thrown out there one show, and we had a great match and had some pretty good chemistry, and we decided, hey, let's give this thing a go. And I think it was more Matt wanting to be a tag team than myself. I wasn't a fan of tag team wrestling at the time, but now I can say going through and being a tag team with Matt, I love it. It's like, it's probably one of my favorite things to do.
What caused you to rethink that then? Just the experience of being there and how you put together a match more so than a singles match, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Really? And it's a lot easier too.
Oh, my.
It's a lot, like, you don't have to do as much work in the ring. You get a break. You're on the apron. And it's easier to pull off the psychology part of the show. Or of the match, you know, it's easier to suck the crowd in, you know, as a babyface tag team or as the heel tag team. You know, one guy's cheating as the other guy's got the ref. You know, it's, I don't know, it's good stuff being in a tag match.
Did you have any favorite opponents when you and Matt were a tag team? Because you wrestle a lot of different places. I mean, you at one time were, let's see if I remember correctly, War Tag Team Champs, OCW Tag Champs, and was it CAPW Tag Champs all at the same time?
Yeah.
So you wrestle a lot of tag teams. Do you have any favorites?
Oh, man. There's a lot. We had great matches with... a lot of people. We had great matches with the Irish Airborne. Mm-hmm. We had great matches with I can't think of their name. Ernie Balls and Bender.
Oh, the Clash.
The Clash. Yes. Yeah, that's right. I can't believe I forgot that. It's been a while. We had great matches with them. Faith in Nothing. We wrestled them a couple times. We got to wrestle some legends up in CAPW too. We wrestled Tommy Wildfire Rich and, Gilbert.
Doug Gilbert. Yeah. Okay.
Doug Gilbert. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. Shoot.
Well, let's maybe.
We have Madrox and, Madrox and Caden. Those, we always had fun with them.
Yes.
So the Heat Seekers. that's probably my favorite opponent because we all trusted each other. We were all in there to, you know, serve a purpose and go out there and, you know, do our thing for the crowd
and
for the company.
And I think that your rivalry showed that you guys had a lot of chemistry. The four of you had a lot of chemistry, and I think that that's also important to have entertaining matches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about another tag team. You've been involved in a tag team with Jimmy Shane for quite a while as you two dastardly heels terrorized a lot of OCW fans and other fans. What was the... Going from the High Def Supernovas, what was it like to be in a tag team now with Jimmy? Because at the time, Jimmy was a little bit... well, we'll say green. I mean, we don't mean that offensively, but he was new to the business. So how did that work for you? What were your feelings on the teaming with Jimmy?
Well, I don't really know if it was supposed to be a tag team per se. It was more of him being my lackey as the but it just turned out that we, you know, meshed well as a team. And you know, he's held his own. He's learned a lot, not just from me, but from, you know, Jeff and everybody that he's been around. And he's taken it upon himself to get bookings and go out and do things and this and that. But there's just some kind of chemistry that I cannot explain. When we get in there, we just know what the next person's going to do. And it took a couple matches to get that down. But we, like, I can just tell what he's going to do, and he can tell what I'm going to do. And we go out there and we put on a great show, and like you said, we get under the skin of a lot of fans and a lot of people, and they love to hate us. Yeah. And that's fun. It's great. It's definitely different than teaming with Matt, because Matt and I were the babies. Mm-hmm. We were the good guys, and this is the other end of the spectrum, and we're the big bad heels, and everyone hates us. So it's cool. It's cool to do both. Good to do both.
Where did you get all the boas? I think you told me one time, and I don't remember. But share with the listeners, where'd you get all the boas at? Because Where does one buy a boa, Robbie?
Well, there was a shop up here. It just closed down. I'm kind of sad about it. But there was a shop up here called the Flower Factory, and they had all kinds of odds and ends, and they had, you know, all these feather boas. Now I have to go to, like, costume shops and stuff if I need new ones. I just picked up a new one the other day.
Is it, what color is it?
Oh, it's pink and black.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yep.
Or no, it's I'm sorry. It's like a baby pink and like a bolder pink.
Oh, okay.
But it's, yeah, looks a little different. Makes me more girly looking.
Yeah, I guess. There you go. You're gonna get more booze.
For sure. You'd be surprised how well those work.
Hey, do you have any cool road trip tales? Since you've been all over the place, any funny stories? Any ribs maybe that you wanted to?
Well, man.
If you don't want to rat on anybody, that is, or, you know,
no,
stooge on anyone, but.
Nothing, no real, real funny ribs that I can, I mean, if you fell asleep, and oh, well, I take that back. There was this one time where it was myself, Sherman Tank, and Jimmy Shane in the car. And I don't know if you've seen those videos on the internet where people are driving and then they act like all of a sudden the driver slams on the brakes if someone's sleeping and they scream as loud as they can.
Yeah,
and it scares the person sleeping. Yeah. We did that to Sherman Tank, and it was quite priceless. We were driving along, and me and Jimmy are eyeballing each other through the mirror. I'm driving, and Tank's in the passenger seat, and he passes out sleeping. And, you know, we get to a point where there's nobody around. We were safe about it. And we just screamed at the top of our lungs, and I slammed on the brakes. Tank wakes up, looks at me, and smacks me as hard as anyone's ever smacked anybody, like in the back of the head. He's like, "Dick." And I was like, okay, we're not doing that ever again to you. It was still pretty funny. It was hilarious.
Oh, man. You got any advice for new wrestlers? I know off air, you and I were talking about some of the students that were coming to Spinebuster University. So if one of them asked you for some advice, what advice would you give them?
Well, it depends on what they're asking. But in general, soak up everything.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your ears open. Mm-hmm. Pay attention. Study film. Respect. Always never forget where you came from, because, I've seen so many people make it and then end up back down, or, you know, just knowing the legends and they were on TV and, you know, at the height of their career, you know, watching them as a young kid, and now they're on our level. You know, you come back to where you start. Yeah. So, and it's still professional wrestling. I bring him up a lot because I've been doing a lot of shows for him lately. But Bobby Fulton said the other day, he's like, I almost hate the term independent wrestling or indie wrestling. We are professional wrestlers. No matter what level it is, we're here to put on a show and, you know, put on a, whether it's in front of, you know, a million people or, you know, 100 people.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
We're still here to put on a show for these people, and we're professionals. And so let's act like it, and, you know, let them still believe that what we believed when we were, you know, growing up or doing it in our heyday or whatever, however you put it, something like that.
Well, let's talk about a couple of shows that you are going to be on. February 11th, you're going to be in Groveport, Ohio, real close to Columbus, at Groveport Madison Middle School for New Ohio Wrestling 4. And you have a tall task, because if I remember correctly, you have Aaron Williams to compete against. And that's a dude that's been around a long time, and he knows all the tricks to the trade. So are you looking forward to this match against Aaron Williams?
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. It'll be our first time, I think, in the ring together, especially one-on-one. I know it's our first match one-on-one. Much respect for Aaron. He's been around, I think, just about as long as I have. I think we started around the same time, but I'm not quite sure on that when he started. But you know, he's been around. He's done his thing. He's got you know, a great look, great moveset, great everything. You know, he knows his stuff, and I'm excited to get in there with him.
Then the following,
for sure.
Yeah, and then the following week, February 18th, OCW presents Love Hurts at the OCW Arena, which is there in Akron. Who do you got that night?
I'm in a fatal four-way.
Okay.
With Cody Saviors, Ryan Burke, and Jackson Argos.
Hey, you've been teaming with Ryan Burke, correct? Recently in OCW. Yeah. How is
that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Ryan's a great guy. Yeah. You know, he's been around for quite a while too. You know, we're not a well-oiled tag team by any means. We've only I think tagged twice now.
Okay.
But you know, we'll see. We'll see what things. See how it happens. It's for the number one contendership, so I'm definitely giving it all.
Okay.
Giving it my all.
Okay. Well, hey, if history's taught us anything, I'm sure that you and Ryan will make a great tag team. I mean, you know, with Jimmy and with Matt, I mean, definitely. So if you guys keep it up and continue to team, I've no doubt you guys will probably be very successful. So, all right, Rob.
This match might make or break.
Oh, well, that's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. We'll have to
we're
wait
both fighting for the same thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, let's talk for here real quickly before we wrap things up. Where can folks find you on the internet?
You know what? Twitter, RobbieStar117.
Okay.
I have a Facebook page, just search Robbie Star. I believe I'm Robbie Superstar on Twitter. And then
you are, by the way.
Yeah. Sure. And I have Instagram as well. I think it's RobbieStar117 is on there as well. Okay. I just, you know, search for me and you'll find me.
There you go. Okay, we're gonna close up here with a little game that I like to play called Tag Feud and Job. I'm gonna remind the listeners what the rules are. I'm going to give Robbie Starr three individuals, and he's going to have to determine which individual he would like to form a tag team with, which individual he would like to feud with, and which individual he would like to do the job to. And of course, when you do the job, you're not getting anything in, and you're going to have to do it for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, same with the tag team as well. So, and by the way, all of these competitors, think of them in their prime. All right.
Okay.
All right. So I've picked three wrestlers that have the name Rob in them. All right. So tag feud or job with Rob Van Dam, Rob Conway, or the legendary Robert Fuller. Take a few seconds to think about that, Robbie.
Okay. This is embarrassing. Remind me who Robert Fuller was again.
Robert Fuller was he was the manager in WCW. What was it? Colonel Robert Parker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Gosh, I couldn't even remember him.
I thought you said Robert Gibson at first. Before. Okay.
Damn it! That actually would have been better.
All right. Let's see. Because I was going to say tag with Robert Gibson.
Do you want? Forget Robert Fuller. We'll go Rob Van Dam, Rob Conway, Robert Gibson.
It makes it a heck of a lot
easier. Look at this.
Now.
We do this on the fly. We're walking and talking here tonight on the podcast. So.
Heck yeah. I've learned to do that. okay, well, tag team with Robert Gibson.
Okay.
Obviously, Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
For sure.
That's a no-brainer.
Man, this is the hard part. I think I would feud with Rob Van Dam just to get, you know, because he's, in my opinion, a little bit bigger name. No. You know, no offense to Rob Conway, but definitely feud with Rob Van Dam to get myself out there a little bit better, a little bit more exposure for myself. And then I guess job to Rob Conway.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. All right. This is the first time I've changed on the fly. You know
what? Well, thanks.
This is historic.
I'm special. I'm super.
Well, you are Mr. Robbie Superstar. So, anyways, definitely come out and check out Robbie in action either at Now 4 or in OCW. And Robbie, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, John. It was a pleasure. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good time. So I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode.
Trivia Geeks, the Unpredictable Game Show podcast, is back with a brand new season. They've got a new host, new games, and a new day and time. But that's not all. Now you can download their companion app, TrivNow, and play along in real time. Watch Carrie on YouTube as she tries to convince her partner that his Dark Knight hasn't risen in years. Listen on Diamond Club and Alpha Geek Radio, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can also follow the show on Facebook and Twitter and get all the latest updates and showtimes.
Well, there you go. My conversation with Robbie Superstar. As I said, I've known Robbie a long time. It's really good to catch up with him. Haven't seen him in a while, so it was really nice just to sit down and chat with him. And I think that's the one thing that I kind of miss about not being involved in professional wrestling as much as I was, as I do miss seeing the boys and hanging out and talking about good times and bad times, the ups, the downs, etc., etc. And so definitely check Robbie out on Twitter, or actually check him out live in person over the next few weeks. As I mentioned, there's two big shows going on here, and they're both going to be really awesome shows. They really are. It's going to be a great evening of professional wrestling, no matter if you go to New Ohio Wrestling's next event, which is February 11th, Now 4. It's going to be held at the Groveport Madison Middle School. 7 p.m., I believe, is the start time. You can check out all the information on their Facebook page. Just search for New Ohio Wrestling. In fact, if you want, go over to pvdcast.com. There's a link on the links tab that'll take you right to it. They'll give you all the information about the show. And, of course, Ohio Championship Wrestling. Love Hurts. It's going to be at the OCW Arena in Akron, 2910 South Main Street. That is, of course, on February 18th. 7 o'clock, I believe, is the bell time as well. Check out ocwrestling.net for more details. And again, there's a link over on the pvdcast.com website, over in the links tab. And heck, you know what? There's even a link for Big Fun Columbus, since I talked about them at the front end of this episode. Check them out there too. So there you go. Look, it's a one-stop shop. You can get this particular podcast. You can get all the links you need to find out about these great wrestling events. You can even, there's even a little I guess you could call application over on the side that feeds through and cycles through all my Twitters. I don't know if, all my tweets, I guess I should say. All my Twitters. That's ridiculous. All my tweets. So, pvdcast.com is your one-stop shop for everything that you need to know about me and about other cool things going on. Oh my goodness. What a perfect segue into the part of the podcast where I like to tell you about something I think is good, something I think is interesting, something that I think you should check out. And oh yeah, we like to call that Orlando's Faves. There we go. All right. My fave for this installment of the PVD cast is a medical practice that has many offices here in Central Ohio, and that is Premier Allergy. Now, you may ask, why is this my fave? Because it seems very odd. Well, I think I mentioned a few episodes ago that I haven't been feeling good sometimes because sinuses are just driving me crazy, and I decided to do something about it, and I think I mentioned it a few episodes ago that I was going to go see an allergy doctor, and I did. And as it turns out, I have quite a few allergies, and so I started doing a treatment through Premier Allergy. And while, look, I don't know if I'm going to be better. I mean, in theory, you're supposed to be better once you're done the therapy or the treatment or whatever you want to call it. I will just say this. I'm going to put them over because I like the customer service aspect to their office here in Westerville, Ohio. They have pretty flexible hours. Monday through Thursday, they're 7 to 7. Which fits my schedule really, really nicely. And I don't know too many doctor's offices that are open 7 to 7. I'm just going to be honest. I'm just going to shoot straight with you. It seems my regular doctor is, you know, 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. And, you know, sometimes that sucks. Sometimes that doesn't fit my schedule for work or whatever. So I do like that. Everybody is really friendly up there. They're very thorough in what they do. So overall, I'm just going to put it out there that if you are like me, you're an allergy sufferer, definitely check out Premier Allergy. I know that they have offices all around the metro area here from, you know, Dublin to Westerville to just about anywhere. So just go to their website, premierallergy.com, I believe is what it's called, or what it is, excuse me, and check them out. If you need some help with your allergies, I recommend them. So that's my fave. Who would have thought that a medical office would be one of my faves? But, eh, well. Anyways. I like, oh, well, I no-sold that so much. Anyways, all right, let's get on into me telling you where you can get in touch with me. You can get in touch with me via Twitter, because, you know, I just goofed that up, I don't know, 5 minutes ago, through Twitter, and that is the handle, at PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com, and also, by the way, you can check out the PVDcast Facebook page. It is facebook.com/PVDcast. And like it, please. So we don't have a lot of people liking it. I don't know if too many people are going to it. So let's get those likes up, if you will. Also, let me tell you where you can get your hands on this podcast, as if you don't already know. But I'm just going to remind you. It's available at PVDcast.com. It's available through iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and, of course, Stitcher Radio. So tell some people about it. Tell a friend. Tell two friends, three friends. Tweet it out. Facebook it out. Snapchat it out. Instagram it out. Send smoke signals. I don't care. Just get the word out there that you appreciate this podcast, and you will have my forever. I will be in your debt. That was very dramatic, I know. But anyways, let's get on out of here. So I want to thank each and every one of you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later.